The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got to talk about our Falcons, man, because this is a big game on Sunday. I say that to Coach every week. He's like, they're all big. I'm like, oh, this one's bigger. Raheem Moore is joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Coach, I know you guys just getting off the field. First and foremost, how was practice? What's the vibe?
It was good, man. A lot of people bouncing around. And it's a time of the year where they all get bigger and bigger. So they're all big, man. It's one of those things, man. Love the intro. Love you talking about that. Love the vibe. Love everything going on in the building, man. Can't wait to go play a big-time game, you know, at night.
Rob, real quick, because I know we don't live in the past. We always go forward and all those different things. Everything. What was the biggest adjustment for you and Zach and the staff having a younger quarterback, a little different than the other guys as far as left-handed, all those things? What was something that you guys did you have to tweak anything for him to get him ready for last Sunday?
No, we didn't, Randy. Believe it or not, man, it was one of those things where the kid's been here for, it was 15 weeks,
right?
Not including preseason and the offseason, and he's had the ability to grow and learn and grow under Kurt and really get his stuff going, get everything going, get the procedure going, how we wanted to do things. Like I told these guys, we had our periods. We got a chance to go out there and, you know, be the one in certain situations. We did our Mamba periods, whether it was twos on twos, and you got to go spit the play out, call it, get the guys up there and out of the huddle, get them in and out in a timely fashion, but with the play clock being used and execute. And we were able to do those things with them last week also by simulating some 2 minutes and things of that nature that we kind of had been building throughout the year. So when his time was there, the young man was ready, and he went out there and he showed us how much he was ready by going out there and able to compete at a very high level. And I was really pleased at how clean he was able to play when it came to all those things.
Raheem Morris joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, we talk with Coach each and every week exclusively here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're getting ready for the Commanders. 2 weeks left in the season, and then we'll see where this goes. Hopefully we are in the playoffs and riding high. Coach, I wanted to ask you about the move made today. We saw where you guys signed Emory Jones to the practice squad. A lot of Falcon fans hitting up Randy and I saying, what's this about? Can you explain and expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, simulations of the guy we're about to play, right? Got to move around. Guy that can scramble, guy that can run some of his own read stuff and the read option, all of those things, getting some guys that are fleet of foot to be able to chase down, do some of the things that, you know, obviously they're very special players been doing. But it gives you a nice simulation of that on practice squad and something we did not have. You know, Kurt would be the practice squad guy normally. We had Nathan Peterman who's not as fleet of foot as the guy that we're going to play. So you get a guy that could do some of those things and simulate some of those movements in order to get you guys ready to compete. Obviously, they'd be faster on game day. You know, obviously we saw that yesterday with Lamar Jackson on Christmas, but you know, these guys can run, but just getting used to it, giving the ability to get those guys a chance to feel some of that speed, feel what it's going to feel like when you're playing the edge, when they're reading you, feel some of the speed, when they're coming out of there, pulling it, doing some of the movement passes, some of those things. And this guy gives us a chance to go out and simulate some of those things.
Hey, Coach, is Drake okay?
Yeah, Drake seems to be fine. You know, obviously he came out, could have went back into that game like we talked about the other day. He had a practice today. I'm not sure we clarified him today. I think he was limited, but he actually went out there and practiced at a high clip. And I feel really good about Drake being able to play at a high level for us.
Coach, I want to ask you about your relationship with DQ. Obviously, you know, you guys work together. You know him very well. Did your relationship change when you got the interim job and you know, things changed here in Atlanta a few years ago? And how frequently do you guys speak? What's your relationship now?
No, it did not change, man. You got to remember, he was one of the main reasons that I was put in the place of that position. When he talked to Arthur and the group that made the change with our head coach the first time, I believe he was one of the guys that let those guys know that he wanted me to do it. So when I was able to talk to him, you know, on his way out, some of that type of stuff, and being able to give him an opportunity to speak to the team before he left on Monday, I think it was really comforting for everybody to know that we still were really close and we still have tight bond. And realistically, like we talked about even in that meeting that I had, I can remember saying that we all let him down in that process. And the only thing we can do now is make him proud, go out and play. And the guys really played together for each other and going out there trying to do the right things to put the things together on teammates. And we are extremely close. You know, that's my brother for life. He's one of those guys that has mentored me, has coached with me. He's one of those guys that I've been able to work with, work for. You name it, we've been able to do it within his profession, you know, in college, in pros, following the same path really as to become a head coach through the National Football League as a quality control coach and all of those things. So we've got so many similarities and so many commonalities when it comes to being that way. Those things will never change when you talk about true friendship.
Hey, Rod, you know, and you know that you've been doing this long. It's a week-to-week biz. We understand that as far as things, and you preach, especially lately, about controlling your own destiny. Now, you got the help you needed to be able to control your destiny as far as you win, you're in, you win the South and everything like that. And there's other scenarios. But at the same time, how does the message, or does it change knowing the fact that, hey, if we go up here Sunday and we do our business, and then the following Sunday we handle our business, we are going to be the NFC champion. Has that message or anything changed as far as your approach with the team?
No, I mean, the message has been the same from the beginning. We talked about outrunning the South from the spring, from my very first meeting. And, you know, it really disturbs me when people say you got the help that you needed. Mm-hmm. No, we beat Tampa.
You said disturbs.
We put ourselves in this position. You know, right. It's not the case on what people try to make it out to be. The reality of it is that we put ourselves in a position to be tied with Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have the same record as us, and we have the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us, and it was our destiny, with our pen in our hand, to be able to go out there and execute and do what we need to do to win.
Raw, you are a Super Bowl winning coach, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. You've been on Super Bowl teams. Does Jaden Daniels remind you of anybody that you had to prepare for through your journey in the NFL?
You know, obviously, you know, you just got to think about the closest that we can even talk about coming into the league, and he played yesterday in Lamar, and what he was able to do when he went from being this zone read passer to this spectacular passer that he really developed into last year under those guys out there in Baltimore, and some of the stuff that he's able to do now and some of the control he has over the offense. You know, obviously we played against like Kyler Murray, and when Kyler is hot, man, he is hot. And he's hot as we ever seen. I was out there in L.A. when he was on an MVP type chase that year in 21 until he got down late in the season, got a little bit nicked up. But, you know, this kid's coming to the league and played really well. He's had some clutch moments, whether it been, you know, the Hail Mary, or whether it's been last week leading those guys down in the 2-minute drive and scoring to put them in position to win the football game. And like, all the special things that those guys do, definitely you got to have some type of a semblance and some type of reminiscence of those kind of guys. Just talking about very near future on what's coming into the league and the people that's coming to the league.
Because you're going up there, it's a road game, road night game. We all know those things they're always a little extra and everything, but you got a young quarterback going into an atmosphere like that. I wanted to ask you about this defense, because I know we saw, if you watched the game against Philly and everything, you know, Jalen was hurt, but the defense did make plays. Bobby Wagner makes a great one-on-one play with Saquon. What is it that they do defensively? Because DQ is a defensive guy. Mm. What do they do to try to confuse a young quarterback going into his first road game, which happens to be a night game up there in Washington?
You know, DQ has always been like this, but, you know, you want to get you behind the sticks and wants to be able to go out there and...
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop the run and get you into these known pass situations to try to steal third downs. And when they can get out there and try to steal third downs, him and Joe Witt are going to try to send people at our young fella and make him make plays under pressure. And they got two really good off the ball backers, and Bobby Wagner and obviously Lulu, that can absolutely cause pressure and cause problems when they blitz. And then they got a front four that's rushing, you know, unbelievable, and they rush in unison with those other guys. When you talk about Dante Fowler, a guy we know well, or you talking about some of the other guys, they got rushing up their pains and all the guys that they got rushing up in the front. And those guys cause havoc, and they've done a nice job of adding those linebackers to the party, being the cover down in the back end, playing some of their choice coverages in the back end with their fire zone stuff with their DBs. And those guys do a really nice job of doing all those things and also playing some of their man coverage, playing sticky. They create all kinds of problems that way, try to create sticky coverage with guys rushing the passer, creating a lot of havoc. No different than what he did. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No different than what he did in Dallas.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good.
And he's talking about Dan Quinn there. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking with Coach Raheem Morris. Now, I was just going to ask you, you know, about Michael. And Randy and I were talking about how does he follow up that first start? Because it was clean. It was good. It was all the things you talked about. And Randy said this, and I'm curious, you know, where you're at on this. That doesn't mean he has to throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns, right? I mean, to follow up what he just did, it just means what to you?
Randy, we talk about this all the time, right? Stats are for losers. Right, you can go out. I'm serious, man. I know people laugh at that, but if you can go out and operate, and you can control what you can control, right? We did not know going to that game that our defense was going to score 14 points. There's no chance we knew that. But when it happened, that dictated the terms of the game and what we can do and how to control the game. And like in that second half, he goes out and puts together a 12-play drive and a 15-play drive for scoring drives. Both should have been touchdowns. I think one ended with three with a penalty, and the other ended with a touchdown on a run by Bijan. But those things are special. So if you can go out and really dictate terms on how you want to play, and you can go out there and play the game as clean as he played it last time, as clean as he played it last week, I mean, this kid's got a big ceiling. And we really feel good about the things he's able to do. You know, we got little small glimpses of being a progress through coverage when he had to, particularly on third down when he was lights out last week. And then he got a chance to see him do it in some of our play-action game last week and actually hit a couple people, got a couple drops, things of that nature. But that's the nature of the beast. That's the growing curve that we'll have with our receivers and him. And if you can go out and play as that clean again and be able to execute some of those things, I don't really worry about the stats. I really worry about the guy playing an organized, clean, professional football game.
And last one for me, Rod, I'll go back to what Carl was talking about, because after you bring Emory in to simulate going against Jaden and everything, what is the biggest thing or biggest problem that this young man, like, because, I mean, we know he's a great athlete, but what's the biggest problem that he poses and presses on defenses this young in his career?
You know, he's able to extend plays, and there's never going to be a first play with this young man. There'll be a first play, there'll be a second play, and sometimes a third. And you got to have the ability to keep him in the box, keep him in the shoot, keep him covered up, but he still can throw the ball and deliver it down the field. And he actually is, you know, coming out with one of the better processes coming out. So I know he can do that if challenged to do that, stand in the pocket and deliver him the football where it needs to go. So he presents all the challenges that these young quarterbacks that are really good and really talented present. It just so happens he's able to do it at a higher clip because of all his experience, somewhat like Michael, playing in college football.
Everybody wants to know, Rod, what does a head coach get for Christmas? Mm. What did Raheem Morris get? Because something you can share. What did you get?
You know, we're more on the giving side when it comes to Christmas. When you become a head coach, there's not many people that give you things. But, you know, Terry did give me a nice bottle of wine. And I look forward to enjoying that and doing that. So we're on the radio, Terry. You can't be talking about anything walking, man. Terry definitely did that, man. He's one heck of a guy. Yeah, he just busted in the office while we were live on the radio.
Yeah. And, well, and I'm glad he wasn't giving any player evaluations there.
we're not gonna let y'all hard knock us.
Yeah, exactly. Rob, very nice, very nice. Hey, did you watch Beyonce last night, yesterday? Did you watch?
I don't think you had a choice. I think it was on every TV in life.
And there it is.
Whether you wanted to or not. I mean, Beyonce came out on a white horse, man. How could you knock that, man? You gotta watch Beyonce.
Well, I'm curious, Rob, because my wife and my daughters, they call it the Beyonce Bowl yesterday. I say no. Beyonce was on at the football game, okay? This call it was different. Now, is Ms. Morris, did she call it the Beyonce Bowl?
Every woman in my house called it the Beyonce Bowl. When I woke up in the morning, my mom was asking me what time was Beyonce on. I said it's the second game, you know. So definitely a big part of what yesterday was about, definitely a big part about the games yesterday, and she definitely provided that energy that NFL definitely wanted.
Rod, this is it feels like a bigger game because it's Sunday night. Obviously, the guys know, and you know, everybody's talking about the playoff implications. The prep that goes into that, is it any different, like, because this feels bigger or no? And are guys talking about it in a different way?
Because you never want to make up stuff, right? You want to have a process, and you want to be able to go through that process, and you get to a certain point when you trust that process. And the really good football teams, when you trust that process, you know what you want to get done and accomplish, and you hit those markers through the course of the week, and you're able to go out there and really get to those points and find out what's going on, what you like, what you don't like, maybe add, maybe take out, you know, sharpen the plan so everybody's on it so we can go play fast, physical, and free. Those are things you look for, right? So, like, not just do some things differently. Things always come up differently based on game plans and how you see stuff and, you know, what type of magic your coaches and your players try to create. But, you know, realistically, man, you go through the process and you play big games, you play small games, you play whatever game you got the same exact way because they're all just as big to us.
All right, last thing before we let you go. Falcons, Commanders, Sunday night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our buddy Mark Raimondi put out that cornerback A.J. Terrell has the third lowest target rate among corners in the NFL with 400 or more coverage snaps, Ra. And this gets back to how you guys view people and view guys in the building and maybe how fans view them, right? And you see, well, I don't know if he's playing well and, oh, he doesn't have enough picks. But A.J. Terrell's numbers are screaming. He's one of the top two or three corners in the league behind maybe Patrick Surtain and Jalen Johnson. Opposing offenses are actively staying away from him. And I just want you to talk a little bit about AJ because I think that's a big part of something that we don't talk enough about.
Again, you notice, man, stats are for losers. But when you get a chance to put AJ Terrell on anybody's number one and feel good about it, and you can go home and sleep tight at night, you know, whether he lost the battle or he won the battle, you know he's going to be out there competing at a very high level. And it was the reason that it was important for us to make sure he was a part of this plan long term. And the guy like the kid like that, the man like that, the maturity level, the human, the worker, the person that comes in this building every single day and leads us on that back end is definitely a guy that we want to be around for long term. And I'm so happy that I got a chance to coach him for hopefully all of his career.
Ra, good luck on Sunday night. We're cheering you guys on, man, and go get a dub.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's Raheem Morris.